Welcome back to the Secrets of Weight Loss podcast. I'm Roberto. We've had a little Easter break, one or two chocolate eggs, and now we are back on it. Maybe you overindulged over Easter, actually. It's not the end of the world if you did, seriously. Don't beat yourself up about it. I used to be terrible at that. When I was 23 and a half stone and trying to lose weight, I'd find that I could be really good for a little while. Then something like Easter or a birthday, Christmas would pop up, and I'd overindulge, and then I'd beat myself up really badly for overindulging and think, oh, I'm never going to lose weight. This is pointless. I can't stick to anything. And then I would just carry on eating bad food, and obviously the weight would never come off. It's not the end of the world if you did have a few Easter eggs. Seriously. As long as you're not eating loads of chocolate every day, a little treat every now and then, yeah, it's not going to hurt you. This week's episode is one that I'm really fond of. It's with a lady called Holly, and it was one of the very first ones I recorded towards the end of last year, actually. And Holly helped me out massively when I started putting the Secrets of Weight Loss podcast together. She's lost over 70 pounds and kept it off for 12 years, in actual fact. Her story is a lovely one of being fat as a kid to now being thin and happy in herself. But it was an interesting journey that she went on. When she would go and visit friends, she'd be the kind of person who would hide behind a cushion because she didn't want people to see how big she was. She tried all kinds of fad diets, including one that you may not have heard of. I don't recommend you try it at all. She then took it to the extreme and went too far. And now she has actually gone a step further with her weight loss. Despite losing a load of weight, she still wasn't happy and feeling confident, so something else needed to be done. I'll let her tell you all about that. Obviously, everything Holly talks about are her own opinions and experiences and not those of the Secrets of Weight Loss podcast or myself, Roberto. Make sure you come and say hello to me as well, by the way. I love hearing your feedback about this and your weight loss stories. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook. Just search Roberto Presents. And of course, there is loads more stuff on the website, thesecretsofweightloss.com, including all the other episodes we've done. There's so many brilliant ones that you need to check out because there are lots of different ways to lose weight and each story is a little bit different. Let's crack on with this. Let's meet Holly, shall we?
The Secrets of Weight Loss.
What did you weigh before you lost all that weight?
Oh, gosh. Okay, so at my highest, my heaviest, I weighed just above 16 stone. And I was 16, Roberto. I was 16 when I weighed 16 stone.
What do you weigh now?
I go between 10 stone 10 and 11 stone.
Wow, so let's say you've lost like 6 stone in total then.
Yeah, and kept it off for 12 years now.
See, that's the incredible bit that I love. You hear stories of people who have lost weight and unfortunately they then put it back on, and we'll talk about that later on, but keeping it off for 12 years is just brilliant. Well done, you.
It is. It's hard stuff, isn't it? It's hard maintaining, but actually once you get going, once you get into your routine, it just becomes a lifestyle.
So how long did it take in total to lose all that weight?
Well, obviously at that age, being 16, I wasn't very well educated when it came to food. So I did join a local slimming group. You fall into their way of thinking. But then I did faddy diet beyond that. So I yo-yoed for a few years. And then, yeah, by the time I was 22, I'd educated myself. I knew what protein was. I knew what carbs were. I knew what fats were. I knew, obviously, about calorie deficit. I understood my body. I would say by 22, I knew what I was doing.
I think you hit the nail on the head there for me as well. It is a lot about education and knowing what's in your food and what you're eating.
Yeah, and it is. It's you've got to be a strong-minded person not to fall for these faddy diets. But I've tried everything. I've tried, the worst one was probably the egg and grapefruit diet.
Is that literally what it sounds like? You just eat egg and grapefruit?
That's it.
I tried the grape diet once. My mum was like, oh, because my mum was always blessed and trying to help me lose weight. And she was saying, Why don't you try the grape diet? My hairdresser's done it and raved about it. And I was like, all right, what do you do? She said, just eat grapes. Are you serious? I tried it. I obviously, being like 14, 15 at the time, I didn't stick to it at all. I was starving after 2 minutes. So how did you get fat to start with?
My mum and dad, they were very good chefs in the kitchen. They worked fine, but not only were they were good at cooking, very wholesome dinners, but then on offer was also a lot of fizzy drinks, a lot of chocolate, a lot of crisps. And when you're a teenager at secondary school, you have a bit of money, don't you? You have some money for the tuck shop, you know, you'd have breakfast, but then you'd have 11s, which would consist of maybe, some kind of chocolate bar and a can of Coke. then you'd have lunch, then you'd have something when you get home at 3:30, 4, which consisted of probably a fizzy drink and 10 bars of chocolate.
Do you think, I'm not trying to point the finger at anyone here, do you think your parents knew what was happening to you at the time? Like, did they know that you were eating all this other stuff at school and then you were coming home and they were giving you a really good meal?
I think that they were probably, oh, she's happy. It did take a long time. And all I remember is my grandmother being the one who alerted everybody to the fact that I was just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's when she took my hand and off we walked up to the swimming group. That was the change. But I dread to think what would have happened if she didn't do that.
Do you remember how it felt when you were fat, though? Like, I did have people making comments about me, but how was it for you?
No, I definitely remember. I remember always I had very slim friends as well. And I remember I had the biggest skirt that was on offer for secondary school. I even had to use the elastic bit of the skirt to extend the button beyond where it should be. I remember that. And I remember thinking, this doesn't feel right. It was very uncomfortable. It used to dig into me. And my friends didn't seem to have that problem. And it was embarrassing. It was embarrassing. And I did feel like the fat friend. And I do look back at photos and I just see sadness in my eyes, actually. Probably didn't recognise it at the time, but I think, I know it sounds awful, but I think I would have had a better childhood if I wasn't overweight.
Do you think you ate because of that sadness sometimes that you didn't realise?
Yeah, definitely.
Say, you said there, for example, you had that elastic and it dug in you and it didn't make you feel great. If that was my situation, I know what I would have done. If I was unhappy, I would have gone straight to the cupboard and found some food and eaten my way happy.
Yeah, I clearly didn't obviously think, oh, maybe I should lose some weight. I don't think that was the mindset at the time, you know. I just carried on eating. And then it took, obviously, my grandmother to turn it round.
So you say it was your grandmother that helped you turn it round. You hadn't up to that point had a thought about losing weight or wanting to be different, had you?
No, never, never.
Did she just say, look, you're getting too fat. We need to go and do something about this?
Yeah, definitely. She
as blunt as that?
Yeah, she did. And she was going to join herself as well. She said, look, we'll do it together. We'll both go. And that was it.
That is great that she did that. I'm not a fan of things like Slimming Worlds and things like that. How do you find it?
Like, it was quite fat shaming.
Really?
I was obviously the youngest there. A lot of these ladies or guys, they were either on their weight loss journey or they were maintaining,
right?
You know? But because I was new, you felt like everyone was looking at you and you would sit around the room every week and say how much you had lost or not lost. And you would have to discuss why you think that is. It felt quite barbaric now, really thinking about it.
It does.
But back then, I guess it was normal.
See, if I'd gone to one of them and I had to say, look, I've not lost any weight and explain why, I think I'd be probably depressed and go home and eat a tub of ice cream or something like that. That wouldn't have helped me at all.
Yeah, and I think it can have a detrimental effect. You have to maybe power through that. I did lose, gosh, I lost 4.25 stone just on that in less than a year.
Well, so it worked for you then. That's great that worked.
Oh, it did, but I was young. So that the majority of that weight was easy to use, I guess.
Did you do any exercise at the time, or was it more about your food?
Walking. I started walking to and from school instead of getting in my mum's car.
And that was something you did off your own back? You were just like, right, I want to make this weight loss thing work.
Yeah, all of us started walking, actually. All of us. And we lived a couple of miles away from the school. So it just shows what can be done just with walking as well and keeping active, just moving.
It's incredible, isn't it? So many people don't realise that something as small as just getting off the bus a stop earlier or getting off the underground a stop earlier or wherever, and just walking that little bit can make a difference.
Yeah, definitely.
So you mentioned the egg and grapefruit diet. What other diets did you try that didn't work for you? Or have you got any that did work?
Yeah, macro diet. So obviously the right amount of protein, the right amount of carbohydrates and the right amount of fats for your body. Obviously, everybody is going to be different. Everybody's macros are going to be different. That's really the only thing that did work for me. I did take it to the extreme also, though, when I did try the fatty diets and I did get too skinny as well. And that was, I was swimming a mile a day, running 5K a day. And I think I had poached egg on toast at breakfast and a cup of tea for dinner. So it just shows you how you can fall into these really nasty traps. You know, it's not good.
And you can go too far.
Yeah. And then that has a long-term effect too, because you slow down your metabolism.
Yeah. And this is something else that I don't think a lot of people understand, is the metabolism. And when you just stop eating, people go, right, I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to stop eating. It's like, no, that's not going to do you any good at all, because your body's just going to shut down and cling on to all your fat, and you're never going to lose weight.
Yeah. Yeah. Huge, huge, huge issue that it really, I had to work so hard later on when I was working with the trainer. He said, this is what's happened, and you need to work really hard now to try and get your metabolism to speed up.
So was it your trainer then? I presume this was just a personal trainer from a gym.
It was, yeah.
Right. And was it your personal trainer that got you into these macros and eating the right amount of protein and that kind of stuff?
Yes. Yeah, that was about 5 years ago, that was.
All right. Okay. So in case anyone doesn't know, tell me about macros.
So macros, obviously, it's not one size fits all. It uses your height and your weight, but also your goal as well. And it gives you an idea of how much protein you should be eating in grams, how many carbohydrates you should be eating, and how much fat should be in your diet as well. It just allows you to be a little bit more free with the way that you eat. So for example, in a day, I currently eat 1,700 calories now, but I'd go home and maybe have, you know, if I fancy some chocolate, as long as I've input it into my little fitness pal, then it's fine.
I know a lot of people will go, oh, calorie counting, I can't be bothered with that. Is it hard work?
Calorie counting can be quite boring, but once you get into the swing of things and you know your go-to foods, then you don't need to. I would say it's just to start with that you would need to calorie count. I know what works for me now, but it takes it takes 6 months to really realize what works for you. I don't sit there at every meal tracking my calories. I really don't, because for me, life is too precious to be doing that all day. I want to sit down and enjoy my meal with my colleagues or my family. They don't want to watch me putting stuff into Fitness Pal every 5 minutes. So, yeah, at the start, great, but it doesn't mean you have to do it forever when you hear calorie counting.
Now you've lost all this weight and you've kept it off for 12 years. What is the best thing about that?
It's just feeling good about yourself, feeling good when you're around your family as well, because I know that when you don't feel good about yourself, that has a huge impact on everyone else around you as well, doesn't it? I don't know if you know what I mean, but I used to really take it out on my partner. When I felt bad about myself, he would get it as well, you know. And it was more so when I'd lost all my weight, and the more exercise I did, the more loose skin I would get. And that was just so disheartening, because you work hard in the gym, you work hard with your activity, and then all you see is more loose skin appearing.
So you'd lost all this weight. The scales were saying, yeah, you've done the weight, it's great, but you still didn't feel good about yourself.
No, definitely not. Because it was, you know, whether you're exercising or, you know, you're with your partner in bed, you don't feel confident, because you can feel the skin. You're aware of the skin.
So do you mind me asking, what did you actually have done then?
So I've had a 360 body lift. So that's almost like it's a tummy tuck. Imagine like a tin can, and you're opening it up all the way around. It's like that.
Wow. So what do they do? They just cut a section of skin off then, like the loose skin, and then reconnect it?
That's it. Yeah. I had a lot of loose skin around my hip, so it made me look a lot wider than I was. So that brought me in to how I should have been. And then I had an arm lift, which takes away the loose skin, you know, the bingo wings.
Yeah.
But mine wasn't just bingo wings with lots of fat. Mine was just empty skin that you could pull, you know. And then a thigh lift, because again, I had that loose skin on the inner thigh that would wobble when you run. It wasn't just fat. Fat has a kind of substance, you know, it's thicker, but the loose skin is empty.
And it's amazing how many people don't understand that. And they just think, oh, yeah, as you say, you go to the gym and you can train it off. No. And I know it's there and it really annoys me because when I wear jeans, I get a bit of skin hanging over my jeans and I know it's not fat. And I just look at myself in the mirror and I'm like, oh, man, that really upsets me. I've lost all this weight and there's still that skin hanging over the edge. And I'm like, oh, it's grim.
It is. And, you know, that is what we have to face sometimes after losing a large amount of weight.
Well, you look absolutely brilliant for it. Thank you very much for being part of this today. I've really enjoyed talking to you. Before we go, let's just sum up then. Your one secret to weight loss.
Yeah.
Would you say that is the macros? Is that the one thing you would say to someone, right, if you want to lose weight, this is how you should do it?
Each their own, but I do believe it's a way of maintaining, you know, long term. And, you know, if the thoughts of the gym scares you, then it doesn't need to be the gym. It's just about keeping active. It's just about moving your body a little bit more, whether that means walking, taking a walk at lunch, or it just means moving more. So I think sometimes people think, oh, Christ, I've got to join the gym. I've got to do loads of weights. I've got to go and do loads of spin classes. It doesn't necessarily mean that. It just means being more active.
So give me your one guilty pleasure. What's the treat that you'd never give up? Although I suppose that's a daft question for you, really, because you do the macro stuff, so you don't really need to give anything up, do you?
No, that's my whole point, Roberta. You don't need to give anything up. Everything in moderation is what I think. That is the secret to long-term weight loss and maintenance.
Holly, I'm going to wrap it up there. This has been brilliant. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Roberto. Thank you.
Make sure you follow Holly on Instagram. She's always posting brilliant stuff about losing weight and her plastic surgery as well. You can find her by searching Holly London. She is my_loose_skin_story. I'm not going to try and say that again because I will get it wrong. Thank you for checking us out. Make sure you hit subscribe and I'll see you next time on the Secrets of Weight Loss podcast.
Thanks for listening. Find out more at thesecretsofweightloss.com.